If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will? You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel,
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn, your home for all things meat patty.
Yep.
Shout out to the Caribbean.
Yeah, Jamaican meat patties. Love them.
Gotta love them. This is the show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
sit around a table in a basement in New York City and come up with incredible ways for you to make abundant sums of money with emphatic. Ooh, did I spike the hell out of that?
You're blowing out the mics there a little bit.
I don't know. I'm looking at the thesaurus here because I say the same things every week, but I realize I picked the wrong word. So I looked up greatly and bigly just to see what Trump could do. And so greatly, we have abundantly, by much, conspicuously, eminently, emphatically, enormously, exceedingly, exceptionally. Uh-huh. All good words.
Yeah.
But just not right for what turn of phrase I'm trying to throw around here.
I feel like you're inspiring a lot of confidence in our ideas.
Yeah, well,
right now.
Look, the president of our country uses four words.
That's right.
Period.
Yeah.
To describe everything.
Yeah.
And he apparently inspires confidence in a lot of people.
Okay. How would he sum up our show then?
Our ideas are the bigliest, greatest, really big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big.
Uh-huh.
And by big, I mean huge.
Okay.
Like my hands. Ideas for getting rich quickly. But not just rich, incredibly rich,
yep.
Bigly rich, hugely rich, and I mean huge.
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 That's right, guys. And
all we ask in return, Noel Dineen,
is 10%. You tithe us, you make your millions, you make your billions, you make your trillions, you make 10 bucks, I don't care, you give us 10%.
That's right.
But you're going to make millions and billions. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
That 10%. That $10 was the joke.
Our ideas are proven winners.
Yeah.
We prove them at the end of every show.
We do.
Yeah. And if you want to know how we do that, if you're a first-time listener.
Yeah. Stick around to the end.
You got to stick around to the end. You know, maybe some of you get so excited that you take these ideas and you run with them before hearing them all the way through.
No, hear them all the way through.
Or, you know, going through the checklist of how we know that they're money makers.
Yep.
Yeah. Or maybe you're a skeptic and you're like, oh, these guys are full of shit. I think this is just a joke.
It's not.
Nope. You know why? Well, you don't. But you will if you listen all the way through.
To the end.
That's right. And, Noel.
Yes, Josh.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I got something on my mind.
I know you do. It's been on both of our minds.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks now.
Exactly. So, I'm sure a lot of you guys right now are listening to us live, 8 o'clock, Saturday nights, Radio Free Brooklyn. But we also have quite a few people that download the shows that get posted 5 days after the air. And for quite some time, our downloads have been doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And
we're a popular show.
Yeah. And in particular, we had all these downloads coming from one location that were growing and growing and growing. And I did understand that it was like a server for some sort of like podcast app or something like that. And so it was growing and growing and growing.
And we were seeing the individual numbers.
Yes.
We were seeing, so like if, you know, in our case, if like 2,000 people were listening in this location.
Yeah.
We would see that 2,000 people had listened in this location.
Yes. And so 2 weeks ago.
Out of the blue.
Those very large percentage of our total downloads turned to one download a week.
Cocksuckers.
And so I wrote up a little message to Audio Boom, is who hosts our archives, and then they feed out through RSS feeds to like iTunes and all that, mm-hmm. Stitcher. I said to them that, you know, this location's always been in France, so I've always assumed it was a server for an application that that's just like the server location. And I suspect that they've suddenly turned from sharing your RSS feed to just downloading our latest show, and then they've got our whole library on their server, and they're just getting credit for the downloads themselves without passing them on to us. And they looked into it, and they said, yeah, you're right, but it's very hard to find out who it is, so that's what's happening. And so our download numbers, which I'm sure our listeners, it didn't affect the amount of people that are actually listening to us, but it hurts our hearts when we look
really
at the numbers.
It really does.
Because they've dropped by like two-thirds, three-quarters.
Yeah, it's about two-thirds.
Yeah.
I think three-quarters is a little much, but at least 50%, between 50% and 66%, I'd say. And when we first saw it, we did hit kind of a panic mode.
We sure did.
We really went into like, what is going on
what
here?
Did we say?
We kept saying like, what happened to France?
Yeah.
France loved us.
Yeah.
For years now, France has loved us.
Yeah.
What'd we do? I think it may have had something to do with the election.
Turns out not, though. You know, I've heard of other podcasts, or, you know, apparently at one point Stitcher did this,
mm-hmm.
and they there was such a backlash against them, they had to stop. So they now report numbers again.
Right.
But it hurts our hearts.
It does.
Hey, you know what, guys? If you have a second, tweet us or email us and just say where you listen to us on. And I'll investigate. I want to figure this out. It hurts my heart when I look at our numbers now. Because we were doing so good. We grew by almost 50% between now and New Year's.
Yep.
We've been really doing well. And then all of a sudden, cut us off at the knees.
Yep.
Which, as I said, it doesn't affect the actual listeners. It just affects my eyeballs when I look at that number and want to cry.
Some people would say that... we were in a bit of a bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, we have passed peak Get Rich Quick with Josh
Knoll.
That's right.
And we had inflated this bubble with false numbers.
Well, they weren't false.
Well, we're going to find out when all these people tweet us.
I hope they do. Please do, you guys. If you listen, please let us know.
I'm just saying, some may say, if we had presented people with this, they might have said, as I thought initially, was like, oh, I see what this is.
Uh-huh.
This is like some bot. And it got busted.
No.
And then that bubble burst,
yeah.
And the reality has rained down upon us.
Yeah.
That we have like two listeners.
you know what? If that bot, if it was a bot,
uh-huh.
It didn't burst. It just got so rich it stopped listening.
Oh, that's right. But the point of my little summation there, Noel,
yeah.
Which really had nothing to do with how we were actually feeling, but you just wouldn't let it go.
I know.
Was that... It ties right into our topic today.
That's right.
Because our topic today is...
Bubbles. How to get rich with them. While they inflate, while they pop, anything to do with bubbles, you're going to be rich. You're going to be blowing bubbles of green bubbles and gold bubbles.
I just want to say, I told you this earlier, but I thought it was funny that, you know, on like Sunday or something like that, after the Saturday show goes out, Noel and I text back and forth, hey, what do you want to do as the topic today? And usually it's Noel throwing out a bunch of ideas because he's read a bunch of shit that have triggered something in him. And he just comes in. Usually it's like a list of like five or six things, and then I'll narrow it down. But he just shoots out, bubbles. And I go, bubbles. And I think, that's cute. That's sweet. Bubbles, sure. And I go, okay, bubbles. And then I start trying to figure stuff out for bubbles, and I'm like, what the fuck was he reading or looking at that, like, got him so hot that bubbles, like, all I can think about is soap bubbles and balloons and things like that, and, like, kids with bubbles and bubble tie-dye. And it took me, like, 3 days, basically yesterday, to realize that he was talking about financial bubbles.
Yeah, dude.
It was pretty, pretty sad. But that's where my head's at. It's in the clouds.
Yeah.
Anyway, bubbles, Noel.
Yep.
What are we going to do with bubbles?
I'm going to tell you. Financial bubbles, such as the housing bubble, which we experienced a few years ago, they're great if you get out in time. They're bad if you get that timing wrong, though, right?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about that. Thought about, as I said, the housing bubble, the old tech bubble, you know, and if you've ever read Michael Lewis's book or seen the movie The Big Short, you know that there were some people that got it right.
I just want to say that I have a client whose boss who works, he's a financial guy, and he works for, he's one of five people that works for the guy that was played by Steve Carell.
Oh, really?
In that, yeah.
Okay, that guy got it right.
Yeah, they're working on shorting the shit out of a bunch of stuff right now.
Yeah, sure. it's all in the timing, as they say.
That's right.
So I started looking into bubbles, and then I thought, you know, these are all things we've all heard of. So I started trying to find some stranger bubbles, you know? We all know about Beanie Babies. That's a typical smaller scale economic bubble that happened.
Mm-hmm.
They became collectible and people were going crazy about them. And suddenly overnight, they were worth nothing. There's a guy named Chris Robinson who made a documentary called Bankrupt by Beanies about how his dad had spent around $100,000 on Beanie Babies. And then the market popped. They still had them all. Prices bottomed out. Dad went bankrupt.
Wow.
What first got me thinking about this, too, was back when we had our comic books episode. What was our guest
Sandy.
Name again? Sandy, exactly. He was talking about how, you know, all these people had originally saved all these comic books and they became super valuable. And then the comic book companies started like pimping it and putting out the same comic for like super expensive with like five different covers, and people would felt they had to buy them all. But they didn't realize that the printing had also gone up so much that, and all these people were into it and saving them and keeping them pristine that 20 years later, they're worth nothing.
Well, that's the issue with all collectibles, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that the collectible craze started with people want to reliving their childhood, but there was a limited amount of these things, right? Then everyone thought, oh, well, I should save all this stuff because it's going to be worth something in the future. But if everyone's saving everything, there's a glut in the market, and the market has there's no value to it.
Uh-huh, yeah. I also read about this one, which I had never heard of, and it's fantastic. It is the Dutch tulip craze of the 17th century. Have you heard of this?
That was a big one.
Yeah. So the price of tulip bulbs rose so quickly that some single bulbs were going for the price of a house. And then in 1637, the market started softening, panic ensued, and soon they were the price of an onion. What was just months before the price of a house was now the price of an onion. Also, you know, another thing I had thought
which of. Which is also a bulb.
Which is also a bulb.
I might add.
So, you know.
So it may have really just been the price of a tulip bulb.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in retrospect.
Bulbs became one price. Single price bulbs.
Single price bulbs.
Yeah.
All bulbs.
Oh, yeah. One size fits bulb.
60 Flanders.
I was thinking about the other day too about like the whole sneaker thing where people are going crazy buying all these sneakers and they're only worth money because other people think they're worth there's no intrinsic value
so
to it.
Let me ask you a question though. Are all not all financial bubbles though are like these are all kind of manufactured financial bubbles right but not all bubbles are necessarily manufactured are they or do you think they are
I think they are I think it's an overestimation of what something is worth right it is where the price and the value of something the value is what you get out of it the price is what you pay for it it's when there becomes a large discrepancy between the two. That is actually the definition of price versus value by what's his name?
You're looking
billionaire with a B.
Buffett?
Yeah. That was his almost quote.
That was his paraphrase.
Yeah. So I came across an article about the going rate of teeth from the Tooth Fairy over time.
Oh, boy.
And let me tell you something. They are booming. And I found all these different articles. They all had different things. Believe me when I say over the past few years they've gone up dramatically, but I couldn't find any hard numbers on that. So some of my numbers may sound a little old, but the trend's still very much continuing. Between 2011 and 2013, there was 42% the amount that people are giving for teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You
have hard numbers though, like how, like when you say yeah. up 42%. So what is that? What is the actual cash
okay.
value of
so
that?
So the average national average now is over $5 per tooth.
Whoa!
In some areas, and it differs by where you are. In some areas, the average is almost $20 a tooth. And
that's crazy,
yeah.
Dude. All I'm going to say, like, just looking at. Let's say when did we start losing teeth? Around 6 years old, 7 years old.
Yeah,
we start.
About, yeah.
So from the period of time that I was dealing with the Tooth Fairy, that uh-huh. the Tooth Fairy and I were on the same wavelength, there's a quarter.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, exactly.
50 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents. Like when you could get half dollar pieces, I would sometimes get a half dollar piece under the pillow, but a quarter.
Yeah.
So in I'm 47. So in 40 years. It has raised, I mean...
800%. No.
More than that.
8,000%.
8,000%. Dude, if you could find anything in this world that returned like that over that period of time,
yeah,
you would be like, everybody with a dollar in their pocket would be investing in it.
That's right. So I started thinking, how can I make money on this? Because this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I looked, and I did find an article that shows that over time, Tooth Fairy trends indicate what is about to happen on the S&P 500 index, the actual stock index. And they showed over 20 years, they were almost identical with the tooth price being slightly ahead. I started looking into that more. And let me say too, the reason it was given is because it's a good indication of how much throwaway money the average person has, right?
Right.
And theoretically, a lot of people are trading with money that they're not paying the rent with.
Uh-huh.
I looked it up, and there is a lot of speculation right now, massive amount, that the S&P 500 is in a soon-to-burst massive bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So you want in, you got to know when to double down, and you want to know when to get out.
Got to know when to hold them.
That's right.
Know when to fold them.
So you're not like Mr. Robinson with his Beanie Babies.
That's right.
And... you're out at peak. You want to get out at peak. So this is what we're going to do, guys. We are going to make a site that's fun for kids,
mm-hmm.
and they get to post how much they're getting for their teeth. And they get like they have a polar bear, and when they win when they put in how much they get like fish for their polar bear.
Uh-huh.
And then those polar bears can go off and do some game or something, whatever it does. It doesn't matter. Uh-huh. All you're collecting this data from these kids
uh-huh.
of what the
you're
average
data
Joe
mining children
family.
With a game.
Yeah. And what the average Joe family in the country is given for teeth. And you will clearly see when average families are starting to feel some pain, right? You don't have to wait to find out about foreclosure data or something like that, which if you read The Big Short or saw the film, you'll know those were hidden in mortgage tranches. So you, so the actual foreclosure rate was hidden. But in this, you won't. You'll be getting the actual data. You'll know when to double down. You'll know when to get out. And we'll know you're rich when we get your check for 10%.
That's right. Looking forward to that.
That's it.
You're going to get rich off of kids' teeth.
Yeah. You're going to get out of that bubble before it pops. And you're gonna they're going to make a movie about you.
I was going to say, you could, I think the real investment here is buying third world children's teeth for very low sums of money, because they'll happily sell them to you. Right? Like, just like the Tooth Fairy. But, you know, like, basically it's a version of what we do now, right? We go to third world countries. We pay people to do all of our labor. And then we bring it over here. We pay them nothing, very little, right? But it's, you know, substantial by their country's estimation. And then we bring it over here, and then we sell it at a higher rate. Right? We can do that with teeth. And little kids can just get that money as they can. I mean, if you're getting $20 a tooth. And, you know, how many teeth do people normally lose in the course of the thing? How many teeth do we have? 26 or something like that, not including our wisdom teeth. Or 32. I don't remember.
It's 32.
So if you can double that, you get another 32 teeth, because your fucking parents aren't paying attention to how many teeth you're losing. You know what I mean? They're just like, oh, there's dude. And how many of your teeth do you end up swallowing? You know what I mean? How many teeth do you lose that you don't even that don't even make it under the pillow? So even if you end up with all 32 teeth under the pillow, right? Because I swallowed a couple when I was a kid. I remember that for sure. Not all 32 of my teeth ended up under the pillow for my quarter a pop. I mean, come on. Come on. There's a huge market. Bringing children's teeth to the Western world.
Or you can use it to predict the stock market and make big money.
I'm not saying it. No. I'm just, it's an addendum. It's another thing altogether. Is, I'm curious, I'm just wondering about this. Is the Tooth Fairy a thing in other countries, or is it?
In Canada it is, I can tell you
Yeah, but you're America light. We know that.
That's where all those listeners went, Josh.
Yeah.
You just, they were Canadians.
They were
just
French Canadians. But like, I get that. But I'm curious if you have any idea if like in England and France and stuff like that.
In England, it definitely is a thing, because some of the stuff I had read were British.
Okay, that's interesting. That's a lot of kids, man.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
a lot of kids with no money until after they get that tooth money.
Investment. It's all about investments. You can do it on, you can speculate, you know what I mean? You can offer to send them to the kids, and then they have to give you a portion of all this extra money that they're getting.
10%.
Well, I would want more than that.
Okay.
I would want like a 50-50 split or 60-40 my way.
They don't know numbers yet.
I'm telling you, you can sell it to them on the game while you're collecting their data.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. That could be the Poppy the polar bear. Here's, do you want to make some more money?
Yeah,
just ask me, and I'll send you more teeth to put under your pillow.
Yeah.
Anything like that? Oh, that's a great one. Okay, well, you know, my sad little idea.
Okay,
after that is so. Like I said, I initially thought we were talking about bubbles. So I spent 3 days coming up with this idea because I could not think of anything for bubbles.
Okay.
So the hot trend.
Yeah.
At the festivals with the kids these days, and the Coachella, and the thing is bubble tie-dyeing.
Okay.
Okay? And that's basically you're wearing an outfit that they've taken bubbles that have had dye put in them, right? So they made the mixture, and they put a dye in them, and then they blow the bubbles, and they lay them out all over the clothing, and then they pop them, and it spatters, and it creates these crazy sort of tie-dye bubble effects, right? Kids love it. The kids at the Coachella love it. The kids at the, I don't know, pick your, I don't know, any of these EDM festivals.
When you wrote all this stuff down, were you like, how can I say it so I sound the oldest?
Yes, I did. Do you want to see what I wrote down?
No.
For this idea is these three lines. But I knew no matter what, I was going to sound as old as humanly possible. So I just decided to go with it. You know, they probably would have, the rich kids that got got fucked over by the fire festival that mm-hmm. went down there.
Yep.
They probably were wearing the bubble tie dyes.
Yep.
But big thing, and the bubble tie dye came originally from bubble painting, right? Bubble painting where the kids would make their bubble solution and they would put it on paper. It was like spin art for retards.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I can't figure out how to use the spin art. It makes a mess. Let me just blow bubbles on a piece of paper and it pops and it would stain it and you'd have art.
Okay.
Kids art, right?
Slow. I think we call them slow kid. mentally challenged.
Yes. Okay. Mentally challenged. And then I was thinking like, well, you know, this is clearly becoming a thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And how many times have you driven through like quaint neighborhoods and beautiful little towns and you've seen that the rows of like really colorful homes?
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh my God, that purple house is gorgeous. Or that pink house, it's so bright and lively and it makes me so happy. And I thought to myself, what a way to make money.
Uh-huh.
I mean, painting a house takes a long time.
Yeah.
So I was like, how big a bubble can you make?
Oh, go to the park. They got them big.
The biggest bubble on record
okay,
is 884 cubic feet.
All right.
Which runs out to about 93 square feet.
Okay.
That's a pretty decent chunk of size, yeah. Right? But they pop really quickly. And I was like, that's not going to work. And I said, well, let me just take a look. There is a very simple recipe that you can find online for bubbles that take a really long time to pop. They're very strong bubbles that you can actually bounce
okay.
in your hand. And the key is it's water. It's like liquid detergent,
uh-huh.
you know, a good quality one, like a Dawn, like don't get a cheapo, like,
yeah.
you know, Rite Aid brand one. And glycerin, apparently,
okay.
is the key. I don't know the science behind it, but you put some glycerin in and it makes these bubbles very strong. Now, when you watch the people who do the super bubbles,
yeah.
they have two sticks with a rope that dangles between them.
Yeah.
And then they sort of drag, they you know, dip it, and then they drag it, and it makes this huge bubble. So it's not a closed-off space. So I thought, why couldn't you, on like a big sort of kind of like a forklift-style thing, create a giant thing with this super bubble thing filled with paint,
yeah,
and you can just sort of engulf the house in bubble and then pop it and you can paint that. You could paint an entire house in like 2 days.
Okay.
An entire exterior of the house. So in 2 days you could do that and you could charge a fortune for it. Like just the fact that you could paint a house in 2 days,
uh-huh.
people would be like, oh my God. Do it. Two yeah. days. I don't have to have you here scraping and jerking around on my lawn for 2 weeks or whatever it takes. And guy hanging off my wall. Nobody potentially getting injured. No lawsuits. That alone uh-huh. would get people on board. But then you can do it with like two guys and a machine and a load of bubbles and paint. And you can make it beautiful bubble tie-dye houses.
Yeah.
And there you go.
All right. That's my idea. That's good. Yeah, uh-huh. you put your idea down. That was a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, more faith.
I had faith. Okay. I was just saying that, like, you know, this is what I came up with after 3 days. Because I couldn't think of financial bubbles.
That's right. Because you know what? We can't think of anything else half the time other than what we like to call our newest segment, Josh Knowles Sellout. Where every week, Josh and I explore ways that we are actively trying to sell our souls, our integrity, our ideals, and our hearts to corporate America. And you know the best ways to help us do that now. You can go to the RadioFreeBrooklyn.org webpage, hit the sponsor, or go to the Get Rich Quick with Josh Knowles show page, hit the sponsor link, and pledge an amount of money. And every month for the rest of the season, we're at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
6 months. And that amount will come out of your account. Half that money will go to Radio Free Brooklyn's mm-hmm. account and help keep them in granola. Half that money will go to Josh and I's account.
Keep them in tie-dye houses.
Yeah, tie-dye houses, and keep us in gold bars.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So if you don't like us, though, if you're like, oh, that sounds like an ugly house, I want to stop it from ruining my neighborhood, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.org and hit the other sponsor link. that goes directly to Radio Free Brooklyn. None of that money comes to us. All that money goes to them. That's tax deductible money for you,
that's
because right. We're a 501c3. And you can
put
a message.
Which may mean nothing to our international listeners.
It may not.
But, you know, you're still donating to a good cause.
That's right. So you can put a message saying, get these guys off the air. They're ruining our neighborhood. That's a blight on my pretty little suburb. And they will. They'll kick us off. But we all know the big money, the real money, the massive life-changing money comes from corporate sponsorship, right? What's that paint company? Morton?
Glidden? Morton Williams?
Morton Williams. We're talking to you. S&P 500, we're talking to you.
Yeah.
Colgate, we got teeth in our ideas. We're talking to you.
There you go. Yeah.
But for now, we're sticking with our best sponsor, our favorite sponsor, our only sponsor, Mr. Monty Lamonti. Please take it away.
Hey, everybody. It's your best friend,
Monty Lamonti.
And I'm back again with an amazing tip.
For some of you.
Not all of you. And believe me, if this tip does not apply to you,
you're the lucky one.
People, this tip is about that jerk-off
comedic performer,
be it a comedian or someone in the entertainment business that's supposed to be funny, and their headshot is of them looking very mean
and tough.
That is the most
disgusting, sickening thing.
And I just think, you're such a freaking jackass. I wish someone would tell these people to try to look funny and smile. As always, people,
a positive influence in your life.
Your best friend,
Monty Lamonti.
And remember, if you heard this, you owe me your best friend.
$2.
That's right.
$2.
Payable via PayPal at Montyism.
MONTEISM at yahoo.com.
Thank you, mean faced
toughy.
Oh, you're probably just a little teddy bear on the inside.
Chump.
That sounds to me like he was talking about your headshot. Right?
I'm not a tough guy. I'm smiling in my headshots.
I'm trying to think. You look pretty mean to me.
Well, that's because you're just scared of me. Headshot alert, or update, I should say.
Uh-huh.
Last week, we had talked about how I was about to get headshots taken.
Uh-huh.
Got put off because of rain.
They're scheduled for
this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Got put off because the guy remembered he has a family thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they were put off till Sunday. Put off because of rain. So now they're in like a week and a half. I'm going to get them, hopefully.
Yeah.
As long as it's not like an earthquake.
Sad, sad day in the world of Noel Dineen.
I know. People need to see pretty pictures of me with a beard.
Yeah, they really do.
They do.
Because I see it every week.
I know.
And, you know.
And you're not hiring me for anything.
Nope, not a thing. Maybe you need to get rid of the beard is all I'm saying. I'm very excited about the next thing because it's a testimonial.
Okay. Usually at this time, we give you a tip of another way for you to get rich, but Josh informed me today when I got here, hey, our tip this week is not a tip. It's a testimonial.
Well, it is a tip as a testimonial. It's a tip. It lets people know that they can get rich.
Oh, okay.
That's what a testimonial is, right? It's about our services.
All right.
So then
I guess I can go into my usual spiel of every week we have a topic. This week is bubbles, and in that topic we give you ways to get in just disgustingly rich, soapy rich. But we also hide another little mini topic somewhere in the show for you to get even more rich. So I guess this week it's us. Take it away.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Not long ago, Scott and Stacy Young were living paycheck to paycheck. They had several substantial loans to pay back and very little to put into savings. And when it came to giving,
we always believed in giving.
To Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel.
But it was never a 10%. It was kind of what we felt we could give.
That all changed one night when they heard about the biblical principle of tithing.
We were
listening to Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel.
And we just felt that God was telling us that we needed to tithe and
Josh and Noel
Can said that, you know, if you feel that in your gut that's God speaking to you, and if you wonder how you're going to do it, don't worry about that. God will, you know, he will figure out everything out. So we committed to tithing.
Not long after that, Stacy got her real estate license and began working part-time. Even though she hadn't even sold her first home, the Youngs decided to take a step of faith. They increased their giving to
Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel
to $100 a month.
After I had upped my
Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel
tithing, the very next day is when I got the phone call that led to my first sale that closed on the exact day that my fees were due. And that was God just letting me know, yes, you're where you're supposed to be, and I will carry you through this journey.
Her career has really blossomed, and you would not know that there was any kind of a economic slowdown.
Yeah, there you go.
Josh, I love you. I had no idea what that was. I thought he had found something horrific about us on the internet. That was great.
So that's a testimonial for us. Yeah. I just think, you know, and the tithe system as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think what that showed is the sort of the connection of us, God, and your financial situation.
That's right. And I it sounds like they were really kind of pre-tithing.
Well, yeah, they were.
And it paid off for them. So you guys dig deep, dig now. Don't wait.
No, I think there's some truth to that. And we can knock that off your eventual, like, you know.
Sure.
Overall winnings, as it were. So, yeah, there we go.
I love it. You know what, guys? When we play these recordings, our mics are still live. And that took everything in me not to, like, be audibly guffawing. Josh, you did it. This is why you get the big bucks.
That's right. The big bucks. Anyway, Noel, bubbles.
Bubbles, guys. This is how we're going to do it this time, round two. So this is something I had heard about before, which is how there's a dangerous auto loan bubble.
That was something I read about. I didn't get deeply into it, but there is some thought that that's going to be the next big bubble in America.
So there's rapid growth of auto loans since 2010. Right now, it's gone up to over five times the volume of what it was just 7 years ago. And they have their own subprime collateralized market where they're bundled like mortgages were, and they're hiding the defaults.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yep, and they make these tranches so that everything's able to look like an A++ rating.
Can you define a tranche for me and for our listeners out there?
It's just they bundle things together. And so if you have, like if it was one by one by one, each failure is a failure, right? But if you have, you can bundle them in a way so that if 90% are good, it hides the failures and it still makes everything look good.
Right, because you're looking at an overall thing that shows that there's it's worth some money. Yeah. But I just don't know what a tranche actually is. It's just the bundling of the...
Well, it's the bundling of different layers, right? Okay. So the tranche is really a layer. But you can, just like if you were to eat a big enough piece of cake, you can have a slim little layer of poop in there. And you wouldn't taste it.
Well, you might just a little bit, but you'd be in the back of your throat going, man, this cake is good, but there's something a little weird.
Exactly. There's something a little weird, and that's true. And what is weird is that 25% of auto loans being made now are subprime. So same thing that we did. We obviously learned a good lesson.
Yeah. Don't do it with houses.
Don't do
anymore.
It with houses. Just do it with cars. And there's a lot of talk that this is about to collapse upon itself. Defaults on these auto loans are way up. So much so that dealers and financers are now installing kill switches in cars to make them easy to repo.
That's great.
So you miss a button, you miss a payment, they click a button, that card doesn't drive anymore.
I wonder if you'll see like what happened in Iceland when Iceland's whole financial world hit the shit. And people were blowing up their cars to get, because everyone was in Iceland was making all this money because everyone decided to be a banker.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were all buying these expensive cars. Range Rover was like everywhere there. And what happened was is people would basically blow their cars up to collect the insurance money on them.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I read all this, and at first I was thinking, you know, sounds like we missed the boat, mm-hmm. right? Well, wrong. So the real danger in all this isn't necessarily that you're going to lose the $10 that you've got invested. It's that you had $10 and you took out a loan for $5 million and invested that.
Right.
Right? You leveraged yourself. So that's where the real danger is, and that's what you're going to lose when that bubble pops, and that's the problem, right? I found an article about in the LA Times, which coincidentally I also found out after I'd written all this up, was also cited by John Oliver, and he had an episode about, I guess, the evils of this auto loan industry. And so it followed a single 2003 Kia Optima car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to zip through this really quick.
It being the John Oliver
show? Well, the LA Times article. The LA Times article. And he actually referenced the LA Times article I had found. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad after I put all this together and I found something that he had also done something on it, which I watched the show. I don't remember this, though.
Yeah.
But so April 2008, there was a car valued at Blue Book value of $5,350. It was sold for $11,000. Later in 2008, it was repossessed. August 2008, sold again. December 2008, repossessed again. January 2009, sold again. 2009, repossessed again. May 2009, sold again, but the buyer complained about the transmission, so dealer took it back. May 2009, sold again to another buyer. 2009, repossessed again. Owner declared bankruptcy, thanks in part to payments he owed on this piece of shit demon car, which was a quote. December 2009, sold again. December 2010, repossessed again. May 2010, sold again. 2010, repossessed again, even though the owner, a mother of four, claims she made every payment. February 2011, sold again. March 2011, repossessed again. And that's where the LA Times article ended. Apparently, John Oliver followed it further.
I'm starting to remember this. I don't remember, I didn't remember it at all, but now there's something about the timeline on this that is ringing a bell with me. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, okay. So the article was an economic warning about this bubble about mm-hmm. to pop, as was John Oliver's. They were warning about the economics of get away, watch out, this is going to pop. But as I read this, all I could think of was they missed the point. This car was sold 8 times in 3 years. And if all you get is 20% of the value each time, down payment plus whatever payments they make, in 3 years off of a $5,300 investment, you just made $17,600 if all you're getting is 20%. And you very well might be getting more because, you know, they're putting up collateral against these loans. You may be taking some houses along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You may be getting real things for real money. Yeah. So this is what you're going to do, guys, is you are going to start offering your own auto loans. Start with one loan enough for one used car. Lend it to the least capable person you can find. Don't borrow money for this. Just use your own money because this will pop.
Uh-huh.
This will pop.
Yeah.
As you're able to, pull out your investment money, and then you've got the rest money that in there, and just keep building that, pulling every time you make $17,600, pull out $5,300 and keep it to the side. And within a couple years, you'll be dealing with real money, big money, and you will have been pulling out enough that even if you lose everything, you still have so much set aside. They missed the point. That car sold 8 times in 3 years.
Well, when you bring it up, what I will say is that my recollection of the John Oliver piece, when he went further with it, that's the point that was a big part of his point that he made, was that not only this, but that the car had made those people so much money from being sold so many times.
Okay.
The same, like conceptually the same idea. He didn't take it to the best and most proper conclusion, which is use it to your advantage and make millions of dollars on your own.
And on as far as we're talking about the markets go, the real danger of this is these big car companies and loan companies, they're taking these loans after they make them, and then they're selling them, and that's when they get bundled and sold in markets, right? Collateralized car loans or whatever, right? So they're freeing themselves of that loan and then reselling it again.
Right.
And the danger is there's this same car has made 8 loans in that time, and those loans are no good. But as long as you're doing it on your own, who cares?
Right. You're not involved with a bank.
Yeah.
You're not involved. The loan is out of your... So you'll make whatever money you'll make off of the loan.
Yeah.
Plus the 20% down.
Yeah.
And then you'll eventually repo the car.
Yeah.
Which will cost you, you know, it's not cheap to repo a car.
It is if you got a kill switch.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's true. But you still got to get someone out there to actually repo it.
Do it yourself.
It's a violent... We discussed this in our
You guys do it yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Pump some iron.
Pump some iron.
Yeah. Get out there. Break some knuckles.
That's right. Break some knuckles.
Yeah. Break some knuckles.
Break some knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play hardball. Yeah.
From them punching you in the head repeatedly.
Yeah.
Their hands will break.
Yeah.
You got, I showed you.
Yeah.
It looks solid idea, Noel.
Yeah.
Solid idea. And yeah, you are going to make a lot of money that way. And I think what will end up happening is, for all those people who are getting fucked over by these big banks, and they realize that, you know, when you start advertising that you're not in, you know, involved with a bank at all, loans are all coming from you, people are going to flock to you.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be like, and you can pull the, hey, I don't need any ID. I don't need,
address.
You don't need to have a job. You need 20% down.
Yeah.
That's it.
They'll think you're the guy from It's a Wonderful Life.
They will. Whatever his name was.
That guy.
That guy from that movie.
Yeah, that guy from that movie.
Great idea, Noel.
All right.
But I got to tell you, Noel.
All right.
When we're talking about financials in this world.
Yeah.
We're talking about bubbles.
Yeah.
It's one place we haven't talked about.
Okay.
And it's on the tip of everyone's tongue.
All right.
It's in the front of everyone's
mind. I know what you're talking about because it was the first thing you read. If it wasn't the housing crisis, it was what you're about to say. I know what it is in my mind. I know.
China.
Yep.
Yep. The big country to the east.
Yeah.
We can talk about Russia all we want, but our biggest enemy is China.
We've awoken the dragon, as they say.
We have. And, you know, people have been predicting that the China bubble is going to pop.
Uh-huh.
And have been predicting it for years now.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. And why is that? Because China can manipulate everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a democracy, as it were, as we are. They don't have the freedoms that we necessarily do. The government controls everything, essentially.
Well, and they're also so big that they have so much growth potential.
Well, yes and no, because the problem is, and we've discussed this to a certain degree in previous episodes when I've talked about the ghost towns in China. China props up their economy by massive infrastructure programs and building programs that are designed to just build and keep people working.
Yeah.
Most of their major, major development companies are joint private and governmental conglomerates.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what that leaves you with is bridges that literally go nowhere, entire towns and cities that were raised, and then huge high-rises are built.
Uh-huh.
Like, for those in New York, you can think like Co-op City style.
Yeah.
But no one's living in them.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have units that have, overall, can house 7,000-8,000 people, and there's literally 100 people living in them.
Yeah.
In areas that you don't understand why that would be the case. And as with many things Chinese, it's very closed and tight, right? While they were doing that, though, they're proceeding to, and so their whole point of that is to prop up the economy at home, right? Keep people working. Keep the middle class solvent and spending money, right? Because as we all know, a thriving middle class spends money, and when they spend money and consume, everything revolves around that.
Yeah.
One of the things, though, that I was reading, though, in all of this, in all of their spending and all the things, one of the things China is doing, and they're doing this all over the world, but you don't think of it as much in the U.S., is they are buying up U.S. property like crazy.
Okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've spent, in the past 10 years, Chinese investments in property in the U.S. is over $300 billion.
Yeah.
It's not just necessarily commercial properties in major cities. They're buying up huge swaths of land in middle America to start farming there.
Uh-huh.
Because apparently only, as big as China is, apparently only about 12% of it is arable land that's suited for growth. Not because it wasn't vibrant, but because of the level of pollution and toxicity there.
Okay.
Much of their land is not usable for growing food.
Uh-huh.
So instead of dealing with middlemen, they're going to other countries and buying up farmland and sort of growing their own food, essentially,
uh-huh.
and shipping it off to the States. And one of the big sort of under the thing is a major Chinese corporation bought the Smithfield Pork Company, where we know of Smithfield Hams and things of that, which is in the Midwest in Nebraska, I think. And it's the major pork processing conglomerate in the United States. They bought it for over 30% of its actual value,
uh-huh.
because they want to basically turn pork into a contract situation that's not unlike the chicken raising situation where it used to be that Smithfield would buy the pigs off of the farmers,
uh-huh.
right? What the major chicken companies do is they basically own the chickens.
Yeah.
And they work out a contract with the chicken farmers to raise their chickens for them.
Oh, really?
And slaughter their chickens. And basically, they set all the rules. And through this process, I feel like we've done something on it.
Or
maybe I saw
that.
It somewhere else. Maybe I may have actually seen about it the first time on John Oliver.
Okay.
Just because we were talking about him earlier. But it's a contract situation where these chicken farmers are basically fucked because they change the rules on them constantly. They're constantly getting penalized.
Uh-huh.
And with the penalization, they lose money. Right, they get money taken away from them if they're not creating the right environment for the chickens, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. But this is all beyond.
Yeah.
This is all just additional stuff. So, but anyway, so they are taking over swaths of America, right? And we've heard this forever. Oh, the Chinese are taking over America. They're the biggest foreign investor in this country in terms of property. So much so that Zillow, the number one site for people to buy homes.
Uh-huh.
In this country, now has deals with two separate Chinese browsers that Chinese investors can go on to Zillow in China and go through Zillow China and buy properties in the United States.
Wow.
Well, eventually, so it used to be you couldn't do that in China.
Uh-huh.
They had very strict rules.
Yeah.
Where foreign investors could not own more than one property, and that property could not be
an investment
yeah. property. It had to be a home, a private property, something like that. It couldn't be commercial.
Yeah.
In 2015, because of all of the building that they had did that no one was investing in, they had all this surplus, right? They said, foreigners can buy whatever they want, right? But no one's really buying because it's all the surplus that they don't want. And as this is happening, China's slowly taking over America. Well, this is what I say. This bubble's going to burst.
Yep.
We know what happens when these bubbles burst, right? Prices drop drastically. This bubble's going to burst, and you're going to be able to buy property in China
yeah.
for no money.
Cheap pigs, too.
Yeah, and they're going to be desperate for American dollars.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, if you walk in there with a bag full of American dollars, you're going to be able to buy the biggest building in Beijing. You're going to be able to buy whatever you want. And you're going to go over there and you are going to like the great American Eagle swoop down
yeah.
and pick up all of this property, and you are going to own huge chunks of China before the Chinese government even realizes what's happening. And you're going to hold on to that, and China's going to be like, wait a second, America's got all of our properties. What's going on here? What did we do? What did we let happen here? By America, I mean you.
Yeah.
You, the GRQ with Josh and Noah listening public. And what's going to happen is they're going to turn around and they're going to pay you top dollar. You're going to hold on. You may need to hold on to it for a few years yeah. while they get their shit back together.
Yeah.
But then they're going to turn around and they're going to be like, we're going to pay you.
Yeah. Just to get out.
Just to get out. And you are going to make billions.
Yeah.
Billions. You may end up being the first trillionaire.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. I'm sorry.
That's
but
good.
There you go.
Mandarin yeah. Fest Destiny.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? You know what else we like is you reaching out and telling us where you listen to our show so we can find the rat out there. We like you telling us ideas for shows, just saying hi,
mm-hmm.
schemes to judge our rules to judge our schemes by. And you can reach us on Twitter at GRQ Josh Noel.
You can email us at GRQ with Josh and Noel at gmail.com.
Bring us on Facebook at Facebook/GRQ Josh Noel.
Yeah, you can check out the cutest dog on Instagram at Herschel_the_doxador.
That's right. And you guys, if you only listen to us on the internet or on podcasts, please tune in Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, Radio Free Brooklyn. Listen to us live. Get the schemes 5 days before everyone else. Stick around afterwards. Listen to Trippin' Beats and see what else is going on the station. A lot of good stuff. So right now, pockets full. What are you going to do with that money? It's going to make you crazy. It's going to pop you unless you spend it. Take it away.
Save that money! And an ice cream shop in Dubai is going for the gold. Literally, with this sundae. Scoopy Cafe is serving a treat called the Black Diamond, exotic Madagascar vanilla ice cream flavored with the world's most expensive saffron, topped with slices of the Diamond of Gastronomy black truffles, sprinkled with 23-carat edible gold, gifted with a rare bowl and spoon. And all of a sudden, I've lost my appetite. Black truffles? Those are very fragrant mushrooms. What are they doing in my ice cream? There's got to be a deserving burger somewhere in Dubai that could better use that ingredient. The price of almost 3,000 Arab Emirates dirham has a lot to do with the china it's served in, which is designed by Versace. But I can't see a fancy bowl making this mixture of ingredients palatable. It just goes to show that style and taste are two very different things.
That's right. We got them both, though. Style and taste. And how do you know that our ideas are worth quitting your job, taking out loans, leaving your family, ditching your friends? It is because Josh scours the internet for rules of getting rich quick, of which we judge our schemes by. Josh, where do our rules come from this week?
17 things rich people do differently from the feel-good lifestyle.
Okay.
Think big.
Yeah, China big.
Yeah, China big. Enormous bubbles covering an entire house.
That's right, big.
I mean, come on. Focus on opportunities.
That's right. You got to focus. Focus on one tooth at a time. That's how I say it.
That's right. And finally, admire other rich and successful people.
Yeah. Admire those rich, those successful people while you work your way up there, car by car, reselling the same car 25, 35, 95 times until you're rich too.
Yeah. So clearly we're getting rich.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering how we figured out, that's it. So once again for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.